Howdy, howdy, howdy. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio, deep in the heart of South Texas on this Wednesday, February 25th, 2026, my friends. We just got through last night listening to the State of the Union address by the president. And we also have a very, very good number of folks that are running for in the primaries for the Republican primaries here in South Texas. I wanted to get to my very good friend, former Congressman Francisco Kiko Canseco, and I wanted to get him on to chat about his campaign as well as what he is seeing among the folks that he's out there talking to. Kiko, thank you very much for taking time to be with us. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Thank you, George. It's always a pleasure being with you and with your listening audience, and I'm happy to be here. Let me tell you, I got in this race late for one very important reason. I was hearing some bad things about the current congressman, and people were saying that the acceptability of some of the other candidates was not up to par, and they wanted to see me running. And I made the decision late. I filed on the 8th of December, which was the last day of filing. And I've been peddling very, very hard throughout the district. We just came back from El Paso and environs of the western counties, remembering that the 23rd district is the biggest in Texas. If you look at the map of the state of Texas, it occupies more than one-fourth the land of the state of Texas. And it has 27 counties involved in here. And as I travel, I hear the same thing. Number one, they're very happy that Trump came in and closed the border. But their big concern is, what happens if a Democrat gets in office? And I often offer the solution of saying there are many bills that can be passed in order to correct it. Criminal bills, economic bills that are going to stop any future invasion the way we had before, and to make sure that the sovereignty of this nation is always protected. People are concerned about that. People are concerned about the economy. I think a lot of times we don't want to see things, or we'd like to see things, move overnight. But remember, Trump did not create the bad economy. Biden-Harris did, and it was set up by Obama. And right now, the efforts and the movements by the Trump administration are going very, very far in order to make sure that this economy continues to grow and this economy continues to bring down prices. It takes a while, but all the things are in place, and we are seeing a lowering in the value of food prices, a lowering in the value of gasoline prices, and as a consequence, life is going to be better, and it is better, as we heard in the State of the Nation, State of the Union last night. I'm hearing those concerns throughout the district, and I'm also hearing what the Democrats are saying, and I don't know how they can look at themselves in the mirror and say, well, you know, this presidency is bad. Look at what's happening to the economy. I feel like turning around and being rude and saying, who ruined this economy? You did. Your party did. You were the ones that did it. So why are you all of a sudden complaining when the efforts are being made, and quite successfully, I might add, in order to fix this economy? So those issues are the most important ones. Remembering one very important thing, George, and your audience, that the breakfast table issues of the cost of food, the cost of paying your utilities, the amount of money you get paid, et cetera, that economy, your health care and other things, they are strongly affected by oil and gas, production of energy, making sure that energy is abundant and plentiful and there to support our economy, and also what we do with other nations and how we handle them. I mean, there's, it's a severe blow to the economy of this country when the Supreme Court rules that the Trump tariffs are wrong. Of course, they didn't rule that the tariffs were wrong, but they ruled that the vehicle that Trump invoked in order to raise those tariffs, that was the wrong vehicle. So we're backtracking and going back again. But all these things are very, very important. There used to be a time before 1913 when this country, the only revenue that it got is from tariffs and import duties and charges like that. We got them from trade and how we did trade with foreign nations and elsewhere. We weren't taxed by the federal government. And I think what President Trump is doing is really quite ingenious in the idea that we're going to get our money, not only fix the economy by taxing people that tax us higher than we tax them, but we're getting them from tariffs. And that way we can lower our income taxes and lower a lot of other costs and stuff. These are all very practical and common sense rules and regulations that should have been followed by Democrats, by Republicans, and everybody else. And we're now facing and reaping the rewards of having a common sense and practical president that's doing things the right way. I hope to be in the Congress in order to help in that movement. I was received very well by a lot of people that remembered me, remembered my record, my conservative record, and the fact that I have a record that shows that I can do this job better than anyone there in Congress right now regarding the 23rd District. Because the 23rd District, even though being in the hands of a Republican, has failed the people of the 23rd in many, many ways. He voted against Trump. He wanted to put Trump on trial in when the Democrats were trying to impeach him. He also was very, very opposed to all the measures during the Biden administration to close that border. And that was the first thing that really struck me. The idea that our sitting Republican congressman in the 23rd district was opposed to the sovereignty of this country. But anyway, my campaign continues. There are two other people that I consider within this race, and it's going to be a tough one, but we'll see what happens by next week.
Let me ask you this, because one of the issues that has been very, very prominent the past 48 hours is the fighting that has been going on between the government, the Mexican government, and the cartels in Jalisco. Now, your district, or the district, the 23rd district, has the largest border with Mexico of any district in Congress. That and immigration and anything else having to do with Mexico, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, it's rather personal to me because my sister's child, who's now 50 years old and was having a party with all of her girlfriends from high school and college in Puerto Vallarta, was caught in the middle of this thing, and she's still trapped in a resort right now, and they're hoping that they'll be able to fly out today, but it's still very iffy. And remember that this cartel controlled all of the state of Jalisco, and just no one else. They control the state of Jalisco, and they're terrorizing now the people of the state of Jalisco. And my fear is that if you've got a lot of Americans that are held up in a resort, and they know that the United States was in league with a Sheinbaum to get this guy killed, or their leader killed, that there may be vengeance. And that's really something that worries me a lot. But going back to the general scheme of things, I think that what we have in Mexico is a failed state on many levels. And I want to go back to the days of President Calderon, who left in 2012. And before leaving, I used to visit with him. He used to come to Washington. We visited and talked a lot. And he said one thing that's always struck me. He says, you know, I put the military on all these cartels, and the Mexican people don't like to see blood. So the new president, which was going to be Peña Nieto at that time, he'll come in and he'll make peace with them. And as a consequence, they'll come into the government. Well, you also have, in my opinion, that the cartels, no matter which ones they are deeply ingrained within the Mexican government. There's only one institution where they're not, or actually two, and that's the National Police and also the National Military. But within every other cabinet official and other areas, they're deeply involved. It is going to be a very serious thing that we have to take with Mexico, because it's closer to the U.S. than Venezuela or Colombia or Bolivia or any other South American country. And we share a huge border, not just the 800 miles along the 23rd Congressional District, but between Brownsville and San Diego in California. That's the huge border. And there are several other states in there, Mexican states, that are involved. What we need to do, and there are provisions in international law where you can take measures in order to protect yourself and do strikes if you need to in order to take care of our American interests, and for God's sake, to help all those people that really don't like the fact that the government is controlled by the cartels. And it's not just drugs, it's control, killing, just like Sharia law, you know, chop off the heads or shoot them with bullets, take over governments, take over other things. The influence that these people have severely affect our country. And we need to take account of that.
To be honest with you, I'm not sure that there would be anybody else that would understand Mexican politics and the U.S. economy as well as somebody like you, not only that has been in the Congress, but who's lived on the border and who has studied the matter so great. I mean, I really...
Well, I also dealt on a lot of issues with clients that had businesses in Mexico and with Mexicans that had businesses in the United States. So because of that, mainly on financial grounds, with a lot of financial institutions, on those bases, I learned through my career that there are some serious issues with Mexico, and we need to deal with them on a preemptive matter, because if not, it's going to be like living right next to Iran. And I don't think the American people can tolerate that.
Definitely not. I mean, we really don't understand how dangerous this whole situation is. A lot of us don't understand how dangerous this whole situation is.
Yeah.
Kiko, we're going to let you go, but anything else you'd like to add before we let you go, buddy?
George, you asked me about my campaign. This is a tough campaign, and I think that your listeners need to look at the right candidate in this primary to represent them. San Antonio and Bexar County has a huge portion of the 23rd Congressional District. It runs the roost in this situation. And I ask for their vote because I'm approved conservative with strong character, moral character, and integrity, and a proven record. So I ask for their vote and to remember that I've served them before and I served them well.
You got it, buddy. Once again, my friends, we've been speaking with my good friend, former Congressman, should I say, Francisco Kiko Canseco. And folks, we want you to listen to this and share it with your friends. He's got a lot of good stuff to say, and so much a depth, a tremendous depth of knowledge and experience. Kiko, thank you very much for joining us, and we'll get you back on again soon.
Thank you, George.
You got it. Once again, my friends, George Rodriguez, El Conservador, talking to you from San Antonio.